stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 30 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at Koopa Troopa 8. This episode, I'm going to be talking a lot about the warp tool and comparing a warp across multiple years. If you want to see what this looks like in your leagues, go to southharmonff.com or go to warp.life. Either one of those will take you to the South Harmon website where you can sign up for the Warp Worshipper plan for only $6.90 a month. Now that we've talked about that, let's get into the episode. There's been a lot of discussion in the fantasy circles lately about the relative value of running backs versus wide receivers. Going into this season, wide receivers were valued immensely. There were a lot of wide receivers that were worth a lot, and running backs were worth almost nothing. And now that we're partway through this season, that is starting to shift. We're starting to see people value the running backs because this season the running backs appear to be doing a lot more than the wide receivers in terms of an impact to your fantasy team. But I'm not somebody that wants to overreact from any one season. Even before this season, I was somebody that everyone was saying, hey, running backs, you want to just value them one season to the next. You don't want to worry about future production, just what are they doing right now? Well, I was somebody that was bucking that trend. I was saying, no, I have a cutoff for what running backs I'm going to value for future years versus just this season, just like I do at wide receiver. But I do have that cutoff, and that cutoff is quite large. In my case, that number of running backs, I counted it out to be 13 running backs that I was interested in for a multiple year time frame. A lot of people saying that they were only interested in the top three or four guys, your Bijan Robinson, your Breece Hall, and your Jahmyr Gibbs. And maybe they included Christian McCaffrey in there, but I'm not even sure if many people are going to include Christian McCaffrey right now because of the injury that he's been dealing with and the fact that he hasn't played at all this season, etc. So I was bucking that trend a little bit because I tend to be somebody that plays a little bit more conservatively. And rather than reacting really hard to one season, I like to try and adjust slowly. I see how things can whip back and forth season to season, and I'm not trying to take advantage and react to that season to season change. I'm trying to continue to stay steady and recognize, hey, this year it is different. This year, yes, running backs are what I'm going to try and get on a lot of my competing teams. But I wanted to go back and compare, what does this look like to previous years? Can we look at any relative adjustment and take a look at where we should actually be valuing these players from a long-term perspective? How do the running backs actually hold up in value from where we recognize them to be in years past? And the same thing with the wide receivers, because right now wide receivers are not doing too well. And so I want to see what sort of differences are there between 2024 and then going all the way back to 2019. The reason I'm going back to 2019 is because that's how far back AWARP goes in my data set. And I prefer to use AWARP because it accounts for the running backs and wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends that are actually being started in your leagues. I don't want to include those random guys that have a random spike week where nobody started them at all. I'm watching the Thursday night football game right now and Trent Sherfield just caught a touchdown. I really doubt anybody was starting Trent Sherfield in their lineups this week, but if he gets another couple passes this game, he might be somebody that is going to make a lot of best ball lineups at least. And he would also screw up the warp for any other wide receivers because he's somebody that's up there and he's got a bunch of points. So that's the kind of thing that I like using AWARP for, and so I am going to compare that with all these past 5 years. And I want to see, What does the data difference look like? What sort of things can I tease out in terms of how we are valuing the running backs now versus how we valued them in the past? And I'm not necessarily going to say which one is right, but help provide some perspectives. That way we don't overreact this year. We don't go fully into the running backs and devalue all the wide receivers down to nothing, because we know that that's what everybody is prone to do. Everyone is prone to see one or two really good weeks and skyrocket a player up, and they're prone to see a couple bad weeks and the player loses all their value. I don't want to do that. I want to be more steady, because in the long term, a lot of players will regress to their mean. And when somebody has a bad couple weeks, it's just a bad couple weeks. That's fine. That doesn't mean that they're going to be bad for the future, unless there's some other extenuating circumstance. So that's what I'm trying to look at across an entire position, and so that's what I'm talking about here this week. So the story for this season has been that the running backs have been doing more than we expect. But when we look at the data, we get a slightly different picture than that. We don't get that just the running backs are doing more than we expect from a warp perspective. We get that the wide receivers are also doing the same thing. To give some point data just to demonstrate this. Wide receiver 30 is giving us so far 0.55 warp over the course of this first 7 weeks of the season. And in multi-year warp, that number is supposed to be 0.5. To spot check another spot, wide receiver 12 is supposed to be getting us around 0.75, whereas right now it's getting us around 0.85. The number of wide receivers that are hovering right around a one warp or above is 10 wide receivers, whereas in multi-year warp, that number is supposed to be about 5. So we're seeing a lot of top-tier wide receivers do really well. The wide receivers as a position are doing better than average. But the difference is the running backs are just above average even more. At running back 30, they're only supposed to be getting us about 0.35 warp, but instead they're getting us 0.5. The running backs at running back 18 are supposed to be getting us 0.55 warp, and instead they're getting us 0.75. The number of running backs that are supposed to be above one warp is only supposed to be 3, and this season we have 9. And so what we're seeing is that both the wide receiver and running back position are doing better than average from a warp perspective. They are both stronger than if you take the averages over the past quite a few seasons. But the reason we're focusing in on the running backs is just because we're seeing more of them. And more specifically, we're predicting them better. We've gotten better at recognizing the running backs, and you can see some of that in terms of how quickly the drop-off occurs. So right now, in terms of overall, hey, how many running backs are we looking at? If you compare running back 35 to running back 50, so that's 15 running backs, usually you see a gradual return in the running back. So if we look at the multi-year, running back 50 is at like 0.1, and running back 35 is at like 0.25 or so, and it just slowly trickles all the way down. This year, running back 35 is at 0.45, and then running back 50 is near zero. And so when you're looking at these numbers, it's that drop off from 35 to 50 is huge. You either have a top 35 running back and you love it, or you don't have one and it's a serious problem for you. The last time we have seen something like this, last time we've seen it not be this slow, gradual decline, was all the way back in 2020. In 2020, the difference between running back 30 and running back 50 was about equivalent to the drop-off we're seeing from running back 35 to 50 this year. That's the best allegory I have for what we're seeing at the running back position. But when you look at the values across the entire position, that the number of players above that 1.0 warp all the way back in 2020, there weren't that many. There was literally two running backs, two wide receivers, but we had three quarterbacks. And the quarterback line was much stronger. Whereas this year, we have two quarterbacks. And then I already mentioned we have nine running backs. We have eight wide receivers, but then two more that are just barely under the 1.0 warp line. And so we have a lot more of that top end and so many more players that are just up there cranking out warp for our teams that we aren't used to. And the fact that a lot of these running backs are players that we expected. They're players that at the beginning of the year, if you were doing your redraft leagues, they were going in the first and second round. You're hitting on so many of them. That is part of the reason we're saying, hey, this is return of running backs. Because we know which guys we want, and we just usually don't expect them to stay healthy for so long. But we haven't had the major running back injuries of years past. Like, think back to last year when we had Nick Chubb get injured literally right at the beginning of the season. It's like, well, there's somebody you were drafting at the end of the first round, and now he's gone. So you haven't had that problem this year. Instead, that problem, it's only been a problem with Christian McCaffrey, and then it's only been a problem at the wide receiver position. Think about all the wide receivers that have had major injury issues. We've had Cooper Kupp go down. We've had Puka Nacua go down. We had Davante Adams with his hamstring injury that magically got healed when he was traded. We have Rashee Rice going down with major injury. Brandon Ayuk has just gone down with major injury. All of these wide receivers are having the injury problems this year. So the storyline is that the running backs are doing just fine and the wide receivers are the ones getting hurt. And so that's what we're seeing somewhat in the ethos of, hey, running backs are better. 2024, you want to invest in running backs if you want to win your leagues. I don't think it's too much different than previous years. I think that we're just trying to overreact. If you look at the AWARP line for 2024, you notice that running backs and wide receivers trade blows. Wide receiver 24 and running back 24, they're the same number. If you look at wide receiver 12 versus running back 12, wide receiver 12 is better. The difference is that we have historically had this repressed market at running back that has caused us to not value the running backs and wide receivers the same. And if you look at multi-year warp, that makes sense. Because there's a serious gap between wide receiver 18 and running back 18. And there's a serious gap between wide receiver 24 and running back 24, all the way down, even wide receiver 50 and running back 50. But the difference is that in 2024, they're about the same. And when you're looking at two players about the same, but their values are drastically different, of course you want to go for the running back. Of course, the running back is cheaper, and if you're getting the same production, then that's what you want to get. So the real question is, how do we play with this? How do we adjust this? And that's where I kind of need to think back to previous years. So if we look all the way back to 2020 and 2021, 2020 was the year that we had the massive running back fall off. And 2021 was the year that the running backs and wide receiver lines were the closest outside of 2024. And what we saw back then was that people valued the running backs stronger. There was some aspect of, yeah, zero RB, a hero RB strategies, those were coming into play. And those became really big when we got to 2023. 2023 saw the largest gap between the running backs and wide receivers of any season. And what we've seen is a complete flip. We've seen from the largest gap in 2023 between the wide receivers and running backs to 2024, where the wide receivers and running backs are the closest. And so we need to return back to somehow we were valuing that position in 2020 and 2021. These running backs, they don't just immediately disappear. Sure, we can try to value them on a one-year window. We can try to say, hey, this is what they're doing for me this year. But we do the same thing to the wide receivers. We treat any wide receiver over the age of 27 for what can they do right now. And if they get hurt, their value is tanked and they're done. But we treat the entire running back position like that. And we shouldn't necessarily do that. If you've got yourself a Kyren Williams, like, he has some value beyond the fact that he's the running back on the Rams right now. If you've looked at what has happened over the past couple seasons with him, like, he has, when he's gone down with injury, come back and taken right back into the same role. If we're looking at somebody like Jahmyr Gibbs, sure, he has another running back there with him, but we still need to value Jahmyr Gibbs like he is an absolute solid stud running back who's going to be there year for year. Same with guys like Devon Achan. I am on board with even saying that Isaiah Pacheco fits this list for me. We haven't seen him actually come back now that they've had Kareem Hunt, but if I had to take a guess, Isaiah Pacheco comes back and he's near full the same exact workload that he had previously. And that's the kind of thing that we need to analyze and be willing to say, this is the scenario that we're playing. If you think about Joe Mixon, Joe Mixon is that really old running back, kind of like Cooper Kupp, where he's really good, but everyone also recognizes his age. And Joe Mixon went down with injury in week one, and then he missed 3 or 4 weeks, and then he came back, and he was exactly what we expected him to be. He was carrying the same workload, he was getting us tons of fantasy points, and it was like he didn't miss a beat. Same thing goes for some of those older stud wide receivers. In terms of a guy like Cooper Kupp, we know that he's going to be a really, really good wide receiver. He might even be a low-end wide receiver one. And we value him appropriately. If you look at the end of last season, we were paying first in order to get Cooper Kupp on our team, in order to have him for that playoff run we're trying to make. And for this year, that's what we were doing as well. And so if we are going to look at the running back position in the same lens, Joe Mixon is somebody we should be valuing up in that range. We should be saying, hey, Joe Mixon, he's not going to fully disappear in 1 year. Now, past performance of a bunch of running backs might tell us, yeah, there's a cliff that they fall off of. And I agree, there is a cliff they fall off of. But they don't go from relevant to completely irrelevant that quickly. You usually get an extra year of window, an extra year of recognizing they are falling off. And that's the sort of thing that you can capitalize on. Sure, you might try to toss Dalvin Cook at me as a counterexample, and I agree, Dalvin Cook is a counterexample. But look at how long we've held on to Alvin Kamara, and how long he's been useful. And then look at some of the other wide receivers that are around the league. Look at what happened to DeAndre Hopkins. He just made a change from one team to another, and he fell off really hard. We'll see if Kansas City is able to revive him, but if I had to take a guess, he's probably not getting revived to the levels that we want him to be. And that would be the same thing as a running back going to a situation where we can fully expect that they have competition. DeAndre Hopkins going to Tennessee didn't have a good quarterback. If you send any good running back to any team that has good competition, they aren't going to get that full workload. They'll be managed, kind of like how Derrick Henry is being managed in Baltimore right now. It just happens to also be Baltimore is helping Derrick Henry be really efficient, and so that's why he's still the running back one in a warp perspective for this season. But if you look at the combination of that running back room, I mean, Justice Hill is doing a ton of work too. Like, he's almost borderline startable in the flex spot for a lot of leagues. And so that's something where you just have to pay attention to what does it look like across the NFL. And right now, the NFL is going to that running back heavy approach. But we need to not overreact because it's going to go in a cycle. Right now, we had the full extreme in 2023. Running backs did not matter at all. All the focus was on the wide receivers. And now that we're in 2024, we're seeing an opposite scenario play out. Except for that the wide receivers are still getting good warp value. More specifically, the wide receivers, despite the downturn in all the scoring across the NFL, the downturn in the number of yards thrown by quarterbacks, the downturn in touchdowns, the difference between the good wide receivers and the replacement level is higher than average. We don't want to get lost in this points per game argument. We don't want to get lost in how many points are actually being scored, because that's not what we're concerned about in fantasy. If I score 120 points, I don't know any context. I need to know if my league mates are scoring 120 points. Same thing if my wide receiver 3, is he scoring 10 points? Cool. Well, how many points is my opponent's wide receiver 3 scoring? Right now, that actually looks pretty reasonable in some of your leagues. If you've got like a half PPR league, like 10 points out of your wide receiver 3 spot is actually probably doing pretty good. Because it's all about relative value. And that's what warp is there to tell you about. It's telling you wins over a replacement player. It's telling you the value that you are getting from a win-loss perspective, not from a points scored perspective. And so that's the important thing that we need to remember is, all right, you have the running back and wide receiver line. They're both better this year than average. The quarterback line is the one that's worse than average. And so we can adjust based on that. We can say, all right, this year, getting those wide receivers and running backs is what we need in order to win. But we don't have to overreact and say it's all in the running backs. We can still do some longer-term plays with some younger wide receivers. We can still do longer-term plays with younger running backs, too. We just need to readjust from that one-year mindset of the running backs and play a little conservatively. Don't go overboard. Invest everything into running backs, because this can all change next year. And realistically, it should change next year. We have all the historical data to tell us that there should be a gap in a normal PPR league between wide receivers and running backs. Wide receivers should be better than the equivalent running back. But we need the actual market to have the right distance. In 2023, we overcorrected. We went so far down with running back values that right now, when we're actually paying probably what is the correct value for running backs, it feels wrong. And we don't want to sit there and say, I'm going to send that first for Joe Mixon. Because that first for Joe Mixon, it just doesn't seem right. Joe Mixon shouldn't be worth a first round pick. But Warp is telling you he should be. He's up there with the wide receivers. Even on seasons where there is a gap, Joe Mixon being a top 10 running back, well, he's up there with the top 12 wide receivers. He should be able to command that value. If you're willing to send a first for Cooper Kupp last year, then you should be willing to send a first for Joe Mixon this year, especially with how much better the running backs are doing compared to the wide receivers this year. And so that's the kind of mind frame we need to A, orient ourselves with, and B, think about for future years and how we're valuing the positions. We need to not go overboard. We need to recognize in the offseason, hey, rather than me playing necessarily what the market is, everything is going to regress. Everything is going to go back to normal, go back to average. And this coming offseason, we might see running backs be valued extremely highly. We might see the Breece Hall, the Bijan Robinson, the Jahmyr Gibbs, potentially even the Devon Achane, depending on how he comes back from his injury, be up there with the Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb. And Warp would tell you that's where they should be. But that might cause a follow-on where, okay, these wide receivers, they're going to get more interspersed with the running backs. When you see a guy like Jonathan Taylor up there with Puka Nacua, Warp is going to tell you from an average perspective year over year that still kind of makes sense. But as you go further down, you're going to see, I don't know, a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba. And right next to him, you might potentially see a guy like Tank Bigsby. Now, that is going to be something where there should be a gap. There should be a gap between a young running back who gets a lot of opportunity this season compared to that wide receiver who's that wide receiver 24. Because we're going to be trying to overproject. We're going to be trying to fit Tank Bigsby into, yeah, I can see how he becomes a running back too. And I agree, he could be a running back too. But JSN probably is also going to be a wide receiver too. And I would much rather have the wide receiver too. Because that wide receiver 24, from a long-term perspective, is equivalent to that running back 15. That's where Tank Bigsby needs to get to. But I'm already seeing that we're going to try and overproject these young running backs. We're going to try and take these guys that are doing a lot for their teams, and we're going to buy in too hard. We need to take a step back and make sure that we are not going to overreact to one season. And we're not going to overreact to the fact that we see running backs with boosted value compared to previous years. Because it's not boosted scoring necessarily, it's just boosted value. The running backs are the position that's hitting, and wide receivers aren't hitting in terms of the same points per game value, but they're hitting from the value perspective compared to replacement players. So, with that to think on, I'm going to go into my last couple segments of the week. The first one is, of course, the roster construction and how many players are rostered per team or in each league. So, last week we had 58 quarterbacks rostered. That is the same number for this week. We have 99 running backs for this week, which is down by one from 100 last week. Wide receivers are still 136, and tight ends are still 52. So we went down by one in the running backs. I fully expect that number is going to change. I expect that as the season goes on, people might be speculatively choosing some more running backs, especially with these wide receivers. The only reason I could potentially see that changing is because of that whole Tampa Bay situation where we're going to try and overreact and pick up all those Tampa Bay wide receivers. And so that might cause a little spike up in the wide receiver department. It's more of an injury-related thing. But I think that overall, we're going to see this running back number. People get more speculative with them. And then finally, into tight ends don't matter. Will Dissly, last week, he finally hit for the tight ends don't matter strategy. We got our first one of the season where we get 8 receptions for 81 yards. It took a while for this to happen, but we finally got one. And our other options this week are Grant Calcaterra, Lucas Kroll, Josh Wiley, and Julian Hill. And I don't think I want any of the other options, not Will Dissly. He had the best week last week, he had the most snap share, and everyone else has some sort of problem going on around them. Grant Calcaterra, his is fleeting just because of Dallas Goedert's injury. Lucas Kroll doesn't have a huge snap share. He's only getting his snap shares in the 40%. Josh Wiley, it's a similar story. And then Julian Hill, but even less of a snap share and even less targets in production. So I'm going to stick with Will Dissly again. Will Dissly is also just outside the threshold for rostership that I have set. He is still tight end number 53, and I have 52 tight ends rostered on teams right now. So this might be your last chance to get him if he has another decent week. That's everything that I have for this week. If you want to take a look at the warp tool and see, I literally had 7 charts up on my screen while I was talking through all that warp stuff and comparing with different years. If you want to see the warp tool, go to southharmonff.com and sign up for it. It's only $6.90 a month. And if you've stuck around this long and you've never signed up for the warp tool before, the first 3 people to contact me, I will give you a month free of the warp tool so you can check it out. So once again, if you contact me on any platform, whether that's Twitter at Dynasty Koopa, Discord at Koopa Troopa 8, and you say, hey, I've never signed up for the warp tool before, I'd love to have a free code, I will give you a free code for a month free of warp. But go on that warp tool, check out what I'm talking about between the different years. Look at that gap between 2023 versus 2024 and compare what it looks like to see how 2021 was kind of close, how 2020 it was kind of close, but then had that massive drop off at running back 30, and how every other year seemed to have a bit of a more medium gap in between. And as always, make sure to go through and stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll talk to you next week.